Thank you. Hold on.
Verses 8 through 10, I think. Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10. Let me get myself comfy. That looks a bit strange, doesn't it? Anyway. So, do you remember where we've been? You know, we've done this for 5 months. Well, today will be the fifth month. And we've talked, well, let's turn now. Isaiah 35, that's the easiest. And we start at verse 8. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks on that road, although a fool, that's me, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up on it. And it shall be, and it shall not be found there. But the redeemed of the Lord will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You wouldn't believe it for some, would you? The sorrow and sighing has fled away. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we thank you that you've got such a heart for each one of us. That you want us to know you more, to experience your loving grace and mercy, to experience the power of your cleansing blood that not only redeems us from the present but from the past, that we can have fresh minds and fresh hearts and walk in liberty and joy and freedom. So come now, Holy Spirit. Really, it's not what I say, it's what you do. That you can take a word and speak to each one of us. So would you please do that today? That you would help us come closer to Jesus. That's the prayer of our heart. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm sure you won't remember, but being as you're there, I've picked on certain aspects, characteristics of this highway that we're on. And if I go quiet, just because I'm a bit, my ears are like that. But hey, if I shout, that's a good excuse then, isn't it? Because my ears are. All right. Pardon me. So, with characteristics, verse 8, we've seen it's a clear way, a clean way. Verse 9, we saw it as a clear way, even though a fool goes on it. There's hope. Hey, you look at me, I'm looking that way. Even though a fool goes on it, he shall not go astray. We should be so pleased for God's keeping power. How often we have been foolish, and yet God in his sovereign mercy has brought us back, kept us in the way. It's a safe way. We talked about ravenous beasts and lions. Last week we talked about it's a free way. It's been paid for, the redeemed of the Lord have been purchased. So today, what do I want to talk about? It's a way that takes us home. Man was made to know God. And because of sin, he has been estranged from God. And because of Jesus, he has been reconciled to God. That's fine. But it says here, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Now, when we talk about Zion, do we talk about a geographical place? Maybe. Are we talking about what it stands for? Who's old enough to remember? Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God, he whose word cannot be broken, formed you for his own abode and the rock of... Anyway, or we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching onward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. You know, those of you who are old enough to remember that stuff, we sing it, but do we really consider what it means? For Zion surely means the presence of God. I enjoy the presence of God here. And next time we'll talk about shouting and singing and stuff. But I'm enjoying the presence of God here. But the Bible says, through a mirror dimly, then we shall know, even as we are known. Whatever we're experiencing of God now, and you've had times where God, heavens came near. You know, you was in church and you're kind of reaching out, you just want to keep going because heaven's come near and touched our hearts, and we've had this revelation of the goodness and the love and the beauty and the splendor of God. So that's what Zion is all about. Zion is the place where God dwells. Now, historically, it's the temple, it's the presence of God. For those of you who like a bit more Bible, three times a year, Jewish males were to present themselves before the Lord. Three times a year. Those who could live in a certain radius, it wasn't a choice, they had to present themselves. And those of you who struggle, I better give you a bit of Bible. You're looking at me like you want some. Where are we? Exodus 34 and 23. Three times in the year, all your males shall appear before the Lord. So I'll do a little bit just maybe for those who want a bit more. So the first one is Passover. Now, Passover contains three feasts. Who knows what they are? Easy to remember Easter. Passover. Unleavened bread. Jesus died for sin. First fruits. Jesus is the first to rise from the dead. Yeah? You're looking at me and I'm losing it already. There's one in the middle. Pentecost. And after that, there's three at the end, which are called either Atonement or Tabernacles. And that is Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles. Let me just say something to you, which is worth, I always love this, that the first four have been fulfilled. Jesus died. That's why Paul says Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Jesus, our price for sin, he became sin, made him to be sin who know no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus, our first fruits. If Christ has risen from the dead, we shall also rise with him. Pentecost. We believe we've enjoyed the feast of Pentecost, are enjoying. What's the next one? Why do I believe in the rapture? For the next one is the Feast of Trumpets. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and with a trumpet of God. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for the trumpet will sound. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians. Anyway, one of them. 15:51. So, you see, that I believe if God set these in as a type and a shadow, they're going to be fulfilled again. So we should be looking forward to hearing. And then Israel, the Feast of Atonement, Israel will be gathered. And thus we shall always be with the Lord, the Feast of Tabernacles. But those of you who like that stuff, it's worth looking at anyway. So three times a year, men were to present themselves. And they would go up with singing. I don't know if I agree, someone says. Well, if you read your Bible, Psalms from 120 to 136, that's a strange heading, which is the songs of ascent. These are the songs that they would sing when they went up to the temple, when they went up to the presence of God. It's interesting, when you look at your Psalms, look how much is God-centered. Look how many of our songs are us-centered. Instead of focusing on our situation here, they were focusing on the presence of God. And we need to be far more heavenly focused than we are earthly focused. Is that all right so far? Good. Because there's lots of stuff I'm going to do for you, hopefully, very quickly. Let me just listen and read these for you. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19 says this: if only for this life we have hoped in Christ, we of all men are the most pitiable. But I looked it up in some other translations and I thought some people live up to this. Miserable, worst off, pretty sorry lot. Why? I'll tell you why, though. Because people are low hoping in this life. And because this life is pants for them, that's what they are. Wherever you are today, I want to give you good news. This is not the end. Jesus is coming back, and if he don't come back, he's going to take you home. We should be those who lift up our eyes to the hills, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh in the name of the Lord. And those who want some more, Hebrews chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight that so easily has ensnared us, and run the race set before us with endurance. What? Looking unto Jesus. My friend, I want to say to you, wherever you are today, I have good news for you. If you will take your eyes off your situation, if you take your eyes off your circumstance, if you're saved, then there is something that will rise up in our hearts and say, I am going home. I am going home. And maybe because I'm getting older, but how much more that becomes a reality for me. But here, listen, what does the Bible say? You're looking at me better now. I've got some good ones for you. Jesus said, Father, I desire, John 17 and 14, 24, pardon me. I desire that where I am, there they may be also. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. I am looking forward. I want to live a long life just to upset the tax man. But when Jesus calls me home, I don't want it to be. We had got a lady in our church. Her father was 100 years old. And he was converted on a ship going off to war. And whenever he came to our church, I used to get him to testify, because I knew as soon as he did, the church would be encouraged. He would stand up, I have served the Lord about 75 years. Oh, he's wonderful. Oh, I love him. And off he would go. He'd come from the West Country. And off he would go about how wonderful Jesus was. And the church, of course, couldn't help it. It was infectious. The church just loved him. Every time he stood up to testify, the church was just loving. So now it's COVID period, and this dear man of God is dying. And, his end is near. So he says to his daughter, allow me, poor West Country accent, am I going home? And of course the daughter's all, well, yes, Dad, I'm sorry to say, yeah. Oh, wonderful. Oh, wonderful. My friend, heaven is not a forfeit. Heaven is the goal we are on. We started on a journey when we got saved. And the end of that journey, absent from the body, present with the Lord. No one goes on a journey without a destination. Well, if you do, they usually lock you up. And yet so many saints lose the heavenly perspective that now, so this, how many people sell this life for a bag of beans, forgetting there is a reward waiting for us? Therefore I have laid up in heaven. Jesus said, lay up not for yourself treasure in earth, where moth and rust and thief doth break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Is that true? I mean, Believe it or not, I have troubles as well. Believe it or not, I have had the diagnosis that no one wants to hear. But I tell you what, so much so that the doctor turns around and says, we don't have people like you in here. Because we know how the story ends. And thank God I'm here today and will be for a long while yet. But we know how the story ends. Yeah, you get this one, don't you? Oh, Fred died. Oh, that's... And that's Fred's a believer, by the way. Oh, that's a shame. Is it? It's a shame for us who are left behind. It's sad for us who... It's not a shame in any sense, by the way. It's sad for us who are left behind. But Fred... I've had the privilege of doing a number of funerals just recently. Believers' funerals. Do you know the caretaker? You've got to worry when the caretaker says, I like it when you do a funeral. Because it's life. I know how the story ends. I ain't got to speak about his pigeons and his woodbines and how he used to have a pint down the pub. I know how the story ends. He is now absent from the body, present with the Lord. You can laugh, you can smile. If you're a believer, this should get you excited. I was pondering today about preaching. What is the role of preaching? I'm going to twist it slightly, but I've worked it out, really. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 talks about prophecy, where it says edification, exhortation, comfort. What's preaching about? Edification, exhortation, comfort. So yeah, you can work that one. That's a good one. There you go. I'll skip through a lot of stuff here. Look. There. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says this. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. Sojourners and pilgrims. A sojourner, a temporary resident. You wouldn't believe it for some people, would you? Some believers, they've forgotten that they are temporary residents. That one day, Jesus will take your last breath and you will die. And yet down here, they'll build everything under the sun. You'll have to excuse me, when I preach back in my own church, it was kind of nice. Because I could get away with a lot of stuff. I would say that people would go to their heavenly ATM and go like that, and there'll be nothing in it. Because they haven't laid up anything in heaven. But I know of old saints who are quiet and mild, who pray. And I tell you what, their heavenly bank account will be well loaded. If you wanted me to really upset you today, we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about, no one likes reading this scripture, no foundation can any man lay other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And then it goes on talking about how we should build on that foundation and what we should use for the building on that foundation. Some people will use wood, hay, and stubble. Other people will use silver, gold, and precious stones. And then it goes on to say, but every man's work will be tested by fire. What happens to wood, hay, and stubble when it's tested by fire? What happens to gold and silver and precious stones? They remain. Sometimes people build castles made out of straw and wood, and then, but others, they've laid down their lives sacrificially for the kingdom of God, will receive crowns. And we've not got time to go into that. But when I start on heaven, you'll have to excuse me. Pilgrims. This is nice. You've already looked up the definition, probably, because I know Nigel. A person who journeys to a sacred place, we're going to Zion, for religious purposes. I like that. Where are you going, Ken? I'm on a pilgrimage. Why? So I'm going home. And what are you going to find when you get there? I'm not quite sure, because I think it'll be glory indescribable. But I know I'll be in the presence of God. For Jesus said, where you are, where I am, you can be also. Revelations chapter 1, 21. Verse 4. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor shall there be any crying, nor shall there be any pain, for the former things have passed away. You imagine, I don't know, someone terribly distorted, damaged, whatever, but when they get to heaven, the former things will have passed away. Pain will be removed, crying will stop. Don't you get it, son? Don't you, when you think about it? When you think about it, can't you just get a glimpse? And we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord as it were in a mirror, are being changed into the same image from one degree of glory unto the next, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We behold his glory through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And what I know in part, then I shall know in full, as I am fully known. Oh, my friend, heaven is not a popular topic in church. Yeah. Let's make you happy. Let's help to make you prosperous. You're going to die. Do you know what? I tell you, we had a doctor. No one liked him. I loved him. You know, he's the sort of bloke you walked in, doctor, I've got a bit of headache. Yeah, you'll be dead tomorrow. His bedside manner was terrible, but I loved him, because that was the way it's gonna be. And in church, we need to hear how it's gonna be. I'll tell you how it's gonna be. You are gonna die. You are gonna be in the presence of the Lord, and that should fill your hearts with joy. While I remain, fruitful labour. Oh yeah, I'm good. But you should have one eye here and one eye there. Oh, we're going home. That's where we are, aren't we? You have to excuse me, but we don't talk about it. It's like, we're kind of embarrassed. Things you don't talk about. Death, religion and politics. I want to talk about both, two, first two. Anyway, politics won't really matter when you're gone, will it? But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident. Could you say that word with me? Confident. Yes, well pleased. Rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Ready? We used to talk, as old people, we used to talk about the hope of our salvation. Not the, I'm going to make you happy now. And I believe in that, don't get me wrong. We're going to heal you now. I believe in that, don't get me wrong. But this isn't the sum total of it. The now is transient, is the word we use, isn't it? It's temporary. But oh, my friend, if we could just get that fragrance of heaven, and sometimes we get it in worship, don't we? Just, you can take me now if you want, I'm good to go. You know the story about the rich man who dies? And they stand on the cut, and the hearse comes by, this big black hearse with the horses and the plumes, and 12 boys stand on a street corner, take their hat off. One turns to the other and said, I wonder how much he left. And the other one turns around and said, all of it. And yeah, Castles made of sand crumble into the sea eventually. How many castles of sand believing people have made? You know, I've got to do this, I've got to do it. Let's not talk about time squandered, because that'll make you feel uncomfortable. But other stuff, good stuff, you know, I've got to get a career, I've got to do this, I've got to get a bigger house, I've got to go. Forgetting. Do you mind if I just preach the Bible a bit for you? I've got this heaven thing. There's a parable that Jesus tells about a man, and he's doing really well. He's doing so well that he says, cool. He builds bigger barns. And he sits down and he says, soul, is going well with you. And Jesus said, fool. For he does not realise that night his life will be asked of him. And whose will it be then? We can be so busy in this life. And that's because we take our eyes off of that life. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Come on, I'll get back to my notes. See, listen to this. We are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what one sees? But if you hope for what you do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We eagerly wait for it. And that is to Romans 8, 24 and 25. What does it say in Romans 5, you all know it, don't you? Tribulation produces character, character produces... Tribulation produces patience, patience produces character. Character produces hope. And this hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. I want to talk to you now about the Holy Spirit in you bringing this hope before you, because I've gone on a bit. I will wrap it up very quickly. I cut out a big bit in the middle. You've done well. Okay, Ken, how do I know this is true? I think that's a pretty good question, really, isn't it? Is it pie in the sky when you die? Because I'd rather steak on the plate while I wait. No! I've been having moves today. Excuse me, it's blame it on the ears. How do I know it's true? Two things. First one is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now this hope does not, Romans chapter 5. Now this hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. He will, what did Jesus say? John 14, somewhere, where he says, when he has come, he will take those things which are mine, and he will reveal them to you. What is heaven? It is God's. What does the Holy Spirit want to do? He wants to reveal it to us. He wants that inner witness, that quickening, that, how do I know heaven's real? I know. You know, how do you know that you know? I know. What if you're wrong? What have I lost? But what if I'm right? Because I can be someone who will die happy. Say it's, you're wrong. I would have died happy. I would have lived a full life. By the way, but I know it's true. See, this is a difference between you and an unbeliever. The Bible says, he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with the Lord. Yeah? So now the Holy Spirit comes to your spirit, which has been born again, and starts speaking to you of the things of heaven. I'll give you a challenge. You start pondering on heaven. If you don't get happy, well, then maybe you ain't saved. How can you not think about Jesus seated? People say to me, do you preach the book of Revelations? No. Usually I start, go the first five chapters, and then start again at Revelations 19. The bit in between I don't really understand. I'll leave that with God. But the first, where the heavens is full of the praise of Jesus, and that'll do me. Let God sort out the bit in the middle. Yeah. He's got a better idea than me. Let him sort out the bit in the middle anyway. So, yeah. Or what else? You know, angels, myriads. The ones that have gone on before, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Myriad upon myriad, 10,000 upon 10,000, gathered round the Lamb, saying, worthy is the Lamb. Casting crowns before him. Don't you get excited? It's like a cross. We should get excited about heaven. Because you can hold your breath as long as you like, but one day you will pop your cogs and you will be face to face with God. That's why we need to be saved. That's why we need to stay saved. And my last one, how do I know heaven is real? Because the word of God tells me. What did Jesus say? In John 17, 17, he said, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. That's why he said in John 8 and 36, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We have no lasting commonwealth here. We've got no wealth in common. The truth is we are going home. And that should fill our hearts with songs of thanksgiving and appreciation and adoration and just, oh, King, do you have to work it up? I don't have to work it up. Just look to heaven. God. Don't you just, all right, let me just put numbers. Oh, let me just give you a couple of scriptures and I will wrap it up by 5 past. Numbers 23 and 19 says what? God is, Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. As he said it, and will he not do it? As he spoken it, and shall it not come to pass? As he spoken it, and shall it not come to pass? God does not lie, God cannot lie. Amen? So what have I said so far? Here we go. Jesus put it like this. John 14, verses... that doesn't look right. Verse 13, is it? I will come... No, it's verse 3. Or 1 through 3. But verse 3. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, absent from the body, present with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. And we can come with singing. I'm not even going to that dimension because I've told you enough to put a song in your heart and a skip in your step that we're going home not as a forfeit but as a reward. Not that we Pilgrim's Progress again, we've left the city of destruction, we're on our way to Emmanuel's land. Yeah, along the way we will have tribulations and we will have trials. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always. As we pass through, he goes through with us because he's taken us home. Can you say amen? I've done me good today. I hope you've got something out of it because I am just blessed the Lord. Shall we stand in his presence today? And hopefully you are Christians in this place. I should always put out the appeal. Do you know? Are you confident that when you die, not because of your good works, because you won't have enough, Not because your granddad was a preacher. But what about you? No, but I'm a good person. You will not be good enough. If you could be good enough, why did Jesus die? For my friend, he died for you today. He don't only want to walk with you in this life. He wants to spend eternity with you in the next. What's stopping you enjoying him in this life is a thing called sin. And what will stop you enjoying him in the next life is sin. For the Bible says, you are of purer eye than to behold sin. It says sin makes a separation between you and your God. We need sin removed. And that's why Jesus died. He paid for your sin. He paid for your salvation. But you have to make a choice today, my friend, to turn your back on sin. Turn your face toward God and come on the terms that he sets for you. And that is confess. Own up. Yep, I am the one. By my actions, I have turned my back on you again and again and again. And I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me. And accept me and now walk with me in this life. And if you've prayed that and if you've asked that, do you know what? God takes you at your word. And as long as you want to be saved, he will save you in this life and the next. Father, we thank you for the hope of heaven. And if that's you, why don't you grab me after church or grab Andrew or Susan or someone and say, do you know, today, for the first time, I have made a conscious decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we thank you for your goodness. Holy Spirit, come now. Each one in this room who would name you as their Saviour, would you come and quicken the hope? Where the hope has grown dim and maybe later when I get, but now, quicken that hope. May heaven be something that's real to us. May we hear the sound of heaven. May we smell its fragrance. May we see the sun rising over the horizon. We thank you now. We bless you in Jesus' name. The saints of God say, amen. Do something. I'm quite good at embarrassing people. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I want to see you there. I want to see you there. Amen.
It's very true about what Ken was saying. So me and Nigel got both sides of the coin. So you've got my mum, who is actually a born-again Christian, and the nursing home rang me up and said, oh, Emma, the DNR certificate has run out. Not that I knew that they'd run out, but there we go. I said, oh, my goodness, quickly sign it, because she would do her nut if something happened and then I've caused the problem that she's back again, you know. So, Lord, there we go. And then, bless, there's Nigel's mum that just will not acknowledge that one day she's not going to be here anymore. And it is really, really hard to... The swing is incredible. But mum is amazing because 10 years ago I was given her funeral, even the hymns and everything, and what I've got to say. And you just think it is just such a different thing. And it is just an absolute celebration of life, isn't it? At a believer's funeral. And it is so joyous. Whereas... yes, it is sad for those that are left. But oh my goodness, it is just such a different thing altogether. Thank you, Lord.